Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 27th of December, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul spoke on what's Easter got to do with it. The reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. So go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father, we come this morning to worship you. Our Lord, we pray that as we worship you, we would draw closer to you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. And Father, we thank you for the year we've had and all that's gone on in it. Because even as we know there's been strange things going on, Lord, we know that there have been good things happening. We want to thank you for those, Lord. Our Lord, we pray again for our government, Lord, as they come and try and work out what is going on. Lord, be with them and guide them. And Lord, we pray that you would be felt by those making decisions. And Lord, we pray as well for those in our church and community who are unwell. Lord, be a healing presence to them. Come and heal them, we pray. And we pray as well, Lord, for those who are finding life difficult from loneliness or not seeing people or being distant from family. Lord, comfort and guide them. Wrap them in your arms. And Lord, we pray for this year that is to come. Be with us. Guide us, fill us, we pray, Lord. Let this church be a symbol of you in Minehead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's the 27th. It's all over. Christmas is over. Another year done. Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah? Got the presents you wanted? Yeah? Still playing with the yo-yo? I hope so. Up and down, up and down. Well, it's over. That's it. Another year. And I guess before long it'll be time to put the tree away. The tree's looking a bit old now anyway. All the things are falling off. It'll be time to put the lights away. All the decorations. Be time to find places in your room for all those presents that you got and they don't fit. Right? Mums and dads will be getting fed up of all the mess around the house now. But yeah, it's over. What about your Advent calendar? Did you do it? As you can see, ours is all done. Will this go away as well? Well, how about, as we put it away, this year, we don't put everything away. How about this year, we keep Jesus out? When you put all your Advent calendar away, and it's been fun doing, okay? It's been a lot of fun building that up. And as we look at it, it's colourful. But as we put it away, what about keeping Jesus back? Because I don't know about you, but as we put away the things for Christmas, we sometimes put Jesus away as well. We think about him over Christmas, right? We think about his birth, we celebrate it, we're very grateful to it because we get so many gifts. But then at Christmas afterwards, we put it all away. And some of us might not think about Jesus again until Advent starts. But what about this year, that little baby Jesus, you keep out? Put it by the side of your bed. Put it on your mantelpiece. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day of the year. And as the year goes by, every day, look at Jesus and talk to him. So for this year, don't put everything away for Christmas. Keep Jesus out. Talk to him. Listen to him. Let him be your friend. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. But also, Jesus is not just for Christmas. He is for every single day of your life. So as you put things away, keep Jesus out. Have a really good rest of your Sunday. I hope you're still eating turkey. Is it turkey curry today? Might be. It could be turkey bolognese, or it could just be simple turkey and pickle. Right? Whatever you are having today, have a really good Sunday. We're going to have a song now. Let's see what's next. Our next song is I'm Giving You My Heart, and I Will Offer Up My Life.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Amen.
What has Easter got to do with it? Why talk about Easter so soon after Christmas? In one sense, the reality is contained in those words spoken to Mary in the reading we've just heard, where she is reminded that things are going to pierce her soul. Anyway, retailers tell us that this year Christmas was hard, that they needed more customers buying more things. If we're not careful, we can make Christmas all about what we can buy, a material, cosmetic Christmas. Indeed, in an interview, one of them said that the really good news about the vaccine coming in 2021, and assuming it is rolled out in this current year, is that people might spend more than they would normally do next Christmas. And therefore, his prediction was that next Christmas is going to be the best Christmas ever. Strange. I thought the first Christmas was a pretty good one. In the opinion of society in general, Christmas has replaced Easter as the most important holiday. And yet Matthew, at the beginning of his gospel in chapter 1, verse 21, reminds us of a truth. It says, She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. because he will save his people from their sins. So this Christmas, I've decided to do something unusual, decided to share something with you, to confess something, if you wish. It was in the mid-1980s that I first encountered a group singing Christian a cappella music. And it was music that somehow at the time, and still does, underlines to me the link between Christmas and Easter. So what's Easter got to do with Christmas? Well, here are the lyrics of one of their songs called In the First Light, and they're breaking it down into its various verses. So this are the words of the first verse of In the First Light. In the first light of a new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continued as they had been, while a newborn softly cried. But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth. That's the picture we have of Christmas. It's an image most of the world has. But for most in the world, it ranks after the images of presents and mince pies and families gathering. For Christmas, for Christians, that image of Christmas ranks higher, or at least it should. But it's an image all of us can cope with, we can cope with, we understand. God is coming to be among us, to understand us. And even if the words we use say something different about how we understand Christmas, the reality is those two uses of one word show something. When we say among us, understand us, we can make Christmas all about us. If we're not careful, we simply reduce Christmas to a nice family time. Well, in most years anyway. Reduce it to something that fits in with us, fits our agenda. But that's not the reality of all. As the angels declared at that first Christmas, this is bigger. This is God's plan. This may be a weak baby, born in unusual circumstances, but this is God. And the heavens knew its meaning. God is on the march. That song in the first light continues. As his mother held him closely, it was hard to understand that her baby, not yet speaking, was the word of God to man. He would tell them of his kingdom, but their hearts would not believe. They would hate him, and in anger, they would nail him to a tree. Oh, hold on a minute. That's more real somehow. This baby, vulnerable, small, controllable, somehow manageable, would grow up and would do something no one else throughout the whole of history ever could do or ever has done. He would take the pain and the burden of all of our sins, of your sin, of my sin. And when we stop to think of that for one moment, we begin to see how much it cost. Even from your and mine individual personal perspective. Imagine the weight of your sins on his shoulders. And then add to that the weight of the sins of those we worship with week by week, either here in church or indeed online. And then add the weight of the sins of all those that worship him around the earth. And then add to that all the sins of all those that do not worship him, whom, lest we forget, he paid the price for as well. And then looking at that price, we can only come to one conclusion. That heavy price would lead to his death. But more than that, to the moment when, as Jesus became sin, he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And why do that? Because you see, sin needed to be dealt with. Sin sticks to us like a strange sort of glue. And even when we don't think it does, it does. Unless we come and give it to God in repentance, it sticks. Perhaps arguably the greatest ever English playwright, Shakespeare, sums that up a bit in the play Macbeth. In the play, Lady Macbeth is striding up and down, rubbing her hands, insane with the guilt of murder. And she says this as she looks at her hat: "All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand." And she was right. They couldn't. She seemed to be continually washing her hands as she rubs them together and she says, "Out, spot, out, I say." My friends, there is only one thing that will take away the spot of sin out of our lives. And that's the blood of Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I don't know about you, but that whole thing kind of blows my mind. How could that be? How is that possible when we look at the baby in a manger? Yet it must be. And that baby came with one goal in mind: to bring us, to bring me, to bring you home, to pay the price and to die. A few years ago, I heard a story on the radio of a woman who was out Christmas shopping with her two children. After many hours of looking at row and row, row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, after hours of hearing both the children asking for everything they saw on those many shelves packed with things to sell for Christmas, she finally made it to the elevator with her two children. She was feeling, in reality, what so many of us feel, what might be called the pressures of a normal year, let alone 2020 at this time of year. You know, the pressure to go to every party you're invited to taste all the holiday food and the treats, the pressure of getting that perfect gift for every single person on your shopping list, the pressure to make sure you don't forget everyone on your card list, and lest we forget, the pressure of working out whether the first class mail will get the card to the person you forgot to send the card to but who has sent you one, and it's arrived just before Christmas. Anyway, finally, the elevator doors opened, and it was already crowded. But she pushed her way into the lift, and she dragged her two children in there with her and all the bags of stuff as well. And when the doors finally closed, and she couldn't take it anymore, she said this: "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot." From the back of the elevator, everybody heard the calm voice that responded, "Don't worry, we've already crucified him." For the rest of the trip, the elevator was quiet. So quiet, according to her, you could have heard a pin drop. See, the truth is, as we look at the baby in a manger, that we also must remember we all have a part in that crucifixion. Because God died for the sinners of the world. And you and I, friends, are sinners, redeemed sinners in Christ, if you know him, but nonetheless, sinners. And some of the old painters had a way of putting themselves into their pictures. Famously, the Dutch painter Rembrandt painted his own face on the soldier driving the nails through the hands of Jesus. I don't know what picture you conjure up in your minds, but I invite you to do so. If you can sort of think of the canvas of your imagination with Jesus on the cross, where are you? What are you doing? But any picture you conjure up that leads you out of the picture is a false impression. The weight of your sins and mine was on the hand that held the hammer that drove the nails through the hands and the feet of Christ and riveted him to those timbers of torture that we call the cross. We all had a part in the crucifixion. And that song in the first light goes on. But the sadness would be broken as the Son of Life arose. And the firstborn of creation would ascend and take his throne. He had left it to redeem us. But before his life began, he knew he'd come back, not as a baby, but as the Lord of every man. In one sense, if the crucifixion was all there was to it, then it would be amazing enough. But in another sense, it would have been half the job that Jesus came to do. Because in dying for our sins, he would also defeat the ultimate consequence of sin, death itself. Here was a plan, a master plan. And that plan will result in all we know and love, in all who know and love Jesus as their Lord and Master, spending eternity with him. Sin dealt with. Its consequences now dealt with of no consequence. You and I, as we were always meant to be, knowing God fully, just as God knows us fully. Seeing our Lord and Saviour face to face. This was a plan, and it would end with a victory celebration. And you and I are invited. One day, the whole of creation, Scripture reminds us, will confess and acknowledge Jesus for who he is. Scripture says, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, he will reign. The babe in a manger will be the saviour for eternity. The events of Easter run throughout the history, And they run throughout the plan that God had. It's a plan that Christmas launched, that comes to its climax when Jesus comes again. And that song I spoke of ends with a refrain that's repeated. And here's the two lines of the refrain. Hear the angels, oh the singing, on the morning of his birth. Yet how much greater will our song be when he comes again to earth? The angels sing on the morning of his birth, not just about what is happening, but also about what will happen. If we could have been a shepherd on that day outside Bethlehem, what an amazing worship chorus we would have heard. Yet that song of joy and praise will be nothing compared to the song, our song, that will cry out when he comes again. That's an awesome thought, but it connects directly the events of that first Christmas to the coming of a king. Why? Because those words on the cross, it is finished, are not a cry of defeat, they're a shout of victory. Without the birth and the baby, none of this is possible. Yet without Easter, none of it makes sense. What has Easter to do with Christmas? Everything. Ultimately, this Christmas, after some of the festivities have died away, even today, we should simply take some time. Time to stop, time to reflect. Not just on a Christmas which was different, hard even, where everything seems turned upside down. But we should reflect on the reality that Easter is a vital part of the Christmas story. And that no matter what, our God is still God. He is in control. And one day, Jesus will come again to prove it. Amen.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed worshipping with us this morning. We've certainly enjoyed worshipping with you. And so our prayer from the hearts of all of us here to you are that at this time, the Lord may bless you and keep you. The Lord may make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord may lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And that no matter what happens throughout this coming year, as we face 2021 together, that the Lord will be in our midst and will grant us his ways, show us where we should go, and bless us and give us all peace. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.